welcome to Cloud Cover. My name's Nick Harris, and I'm joined by...
Chris Rasner.
And...
Dan Fernandez.
Yes, a very familiar face for Channel 9.
Yeah, excited to be on Cloud Cover. This is my first time on.
Yeah, oh, so you've been working at Microsoft for quite a long time, but you've recently changed roles. Could you tell everyone a little bit about what you're doing now?
Sure. So I appreciate the little insult on how I've been here a really long time.
So
I was previously doing Visual Studio stuff, then did DPE stuff, right, and then went back to Visual Studio. So I'm now working on a team dedicated to building tools for developers that are targeting Azure. Right. So if your Visual Studio experience, how do we make the platform work and have a great tooling experience?
Okay. Excellent. And today you're going to talk to us about something specific?
Yes. So there's been a lot of things going on with Azure. And the idea is, you know, starting at build, we had a number of announcements. We released the Azure SDK 2.3. So we'll be showing those features off. And even some of the new features that have come on for Visual Studio Update 2 that officially RTM'd in at TechEd. Which is probably 2 weeks now, or depending on when this airs.
Okay.
So the idea here is we're going to show our top 10 features that developers can take advantage of. And you know, to kind of make this fun, we're going to do everything as demos.
Okay. Great. Awesome. A lot of demos to get through.
Yes.
We should get cranking on this.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And now our feature presentation.
So number 10, the new VMs, including Windows 7 and 8.1. So this just announced at TechEd. So I have a incognito window open up here, or in private, depending on what you prefer, to show this off, because you do need an MSDN subscription. This is only available to MSDN subscribers. Mm-hmm. The idea here is that I can spin up a new virtual machine, and I'm going to select from gallery. And the real key thing here to do is either you can sort by MSDN or sort by, say, Visual Studio here. And so we've previously had the Visual Studio builds before, and for, say, Pro, Premium, or Ultimate. One of the things we now have is versions of Windows 7. So this is really important, and obviously Windows 8.1. Yeah. But for a number of our customers have been saying, hey, look, I want, you all are only providing VM images that are server images. Mm-hmm. Really, I need something that I could remote into that gives me the full client experience for dev and test scenarios. My MSDN license gives me dev and test for these operating systems. How can you make it that much easier? And we built it, and it's as easy as basically, you know, selecting you know, your VM image and going through the regular wizard. Okay. So, and then you can connect it up and get the full experience from either Windows 7 or 8.1, and then you can do things like use wonderful new start screen and all the cool features, say if you're building Windows Store apps you need a way to do dev tests on a specific machine or spin up an environment, you have your VMs right there.
If you get WinXP, Chris will be able to stop using his desktop and just remote straight into a VM.
But realize Windows ME would be really helpful for me.
Windows ME, we should probably be able to do that one. That would be fun. We'll have it run in a virtual machine that's running in a virtual machine. So I'm pretty sure somebody's going to do a TypeScript version of Windows ME, so it's only a matter of time.
But quite cool to have those images in gallery, to be serious, so you know, developers can now use them, not have to deal with doing it locally.
Yeah, especially like, hey, I need a Win 7 enterprise box to test on. Like, then you have to go to IT and they're like, well, we only do servers and, you know, here's this old junky laptop. It's like, no, let me just spin up environments and spin them down whenever we need them.
Do you know if, talking about sort of the legacy type development, you know, going back Windows 7 and that type of thing, I guess it's not legacy for many people, but does the VM support sort of USB mapping? So I can, for instance, if I was doing Windows Mobile development on a Windows 7 VM, that the USB connection from a device in my host PC would map through to, you know, whatever the VS is connecting to and sort of debugging through.
That's a good question. I know I've used Remote Desktop to use some USB. I just haven't tested the emulator. That would be another great example of like if you need a phone emulator or something for a specific version.
Yeah.
So
it's
an exercise for the viewer.
Okay.
There we go.
All right. So our first and least technical demo. So on to our next one, which is file new provisioning. So a lot of customers say, hey, I want to use this Azure thing, and let me see if I have a blank one up. One of the things we wanted to do is make it really easy to just spin up Azure resource, say either your dev testing, like I want to just be able to, I had this version of the build, it's not working, spin something up on Azure, find out why, maybe destroy it, or spin up resources really easily, both for websites and for virtual machines. So to do that, I just say new project, And from here, I'm just going to select ASP.NET web app.
Yep.
And I'll call this the
Now cloud. Under the cloud node as well, by the looks of things.
Yes, yep. It's great observation. Yep. Our cloud node used to have just cloud service. Mm-hmm. We actually added mobile service and ASP.NET web app.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and click that. And select our MVC template. Now here is the new dialog. Now you get this if you install the update to Visual Studio 2013, which is you get this host in the cloud option, and then two things here, which website is the default.
Right.
And I'll go ahead and select that, and I'll click OK. So this should show me a dialog, which gives me, hey, what is the default region that I want? And because I've done this before, it's defaulted to West. I'll go ahead and just click OK. And what this is doing is both creating my project, creating resources for my project to automatically publish to it, which we'll talk about some of the publishing, creating PowerShell scripts that are dynamic in that they have the information to publish to that project, and of course, obviously, the project system itself.
Yep. So basically, from a file new, now you have your resource provisioned and ready to be deployed to.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So. I now have this up. Let's actually maybe go in here and just make some real simple code change. We'll go to the home controller and just default home page and full screen this and increase the font size like crazy. And we'll try trace, add a system diagnostics, and just trace info here. Hello. And maybe a warning just for. Warning. Okay. Extremely exciting code that's actually going on here. And just maybe we'll look at the page. We'll hit views, home, index, just so we can actually see that the page has been changed. So I changed this page.
I think this is actually identical to Nick's website, isn't it?
Yeah.
Default template is the way to go, you know?
I thought you were still using front page. Did you move on up?
Yeah.
All right. So, and I think actually I'll talk about better publishing tools next. So that's the real basic stuff in terms of it's that easy. Actually, in fact, I'm going to spin up another one to show you the VM scenario, because the VM scenario is a little different.
All right.
So you can actually customize things. And one of my favorite features that comes out of here for free, let me call this the Cloud Cover VM. And now instead what I can do is select virtual machine. I'll just do the same website here. Click OK. Cloud Cover Show. I wonder if that's actually available. It is. See, I'm going to squat on your domain.
You can keep it.
So this gives me a list of images.
Okay.
And this is from the portal, so you can obviously choose. I'll just choose data center. Now, this is the awesomest checkbox. So if you are a developer that was targeting virtual machines today, what you normally do is you pick from there, say either from the portal, from Visual Studio, and all the work is on you to get that machine ready to actually host your web application.
Okay.
With this checkbox, which is on by default, it'll actually go and install the web role for IIS, install it so ASP.NET 4.5 works, and do a number of other things, including install web deploy on it. So that's how I'm going to be able to deploy my application directly from Visual Studio. It's going to set the firewall rule to 8172, so that way you can actually get through from the VM. Like, all the tedious things that you would have to do are now just a checkbox.
Okay. So basically, there's just a few things we can actually get our web app running in a VM without having to figure out all the, how do I work with VM?
Yes, exactly right. So I'm going to go ahead and just say medium and let's see, pass at word one. Pass at word one. Awesome.
I hope everyone took down that password.
That's the canonical demo password.
We'll put it down in the notes below just in case they didn't hear it.
I'm so glad we're not live and somebody is going into this. Now, it's actually going to start provisioning this virtual machine. And this does take a long process because it is going to actually go in. Basically do all the things that it need to do from a generalized machine to a specialized machine, like taking effectively a sysprep of getting that machine ready. And after all those steps are done, then it installs IIS, then it installs web deploy, has to do a reboot. All that stuff is for you. This will come back in, say, 20 minutes.
All right. So we've just covered off the new file, new project experience, and basically the host option of websites and VMs.
Right.
How do we go and now deploy it? Is that the next item in your
yes,
list?
Yes. So I'm going to jump back to our web app and show some of the cool stuff that we've done for deployment. So I changed this page. I haven't actually changed my live environment. Now, by default, by doing that file new, if I just right-click on my project and select the publish option right there, give that a second to load up, it's already built all the details and secrets and everything that I needed to do. Now, of course, you'd go to a profile and it'll give you the nice thing to choose. But the real key here is we're making the Publish Wizard as smart about Azure and so that you don't have to type in settings as much as possible.
All right.
So there's our website, and I'll go ahead and just click Publish. And this will go ahead and publish our app. And it should open a browser as well. Ackles for Path. And as you can see, it's pretty fast to publish to Azure websites as well, because we are using Web Deploy.
Cold start. There we go.
Yes. Awesome. So more demos are working. So we've deployed our first application. Some of the cool things that we can do as well to actually, let's just make some changes. I change this page again. We'll make that change and just click Save. And one of the things we can do is look at a CSHTML page. And if we look at this, let me just preview changes to index.cshtml. So what this is going to do is look at our live server and actually give us diffs of what has changed in, say, HTML or CSS. So you're like, hey, why is the page not working there and working here? You can actually see all the diffs. So there's some great diff tooling that's available, say, like removed and added, and
that's
cool
really
colorization.
Cool.
And of course, you can jump within pages.
So if Chris goes on the server and starts hacking stuff and not actually committing it, you can actually see what's changed.
Yes, yes. Okay. Now, this won't automatically find that Chris was the person to blame, but that's vNext.
You'll never figure me out.
Okay, so some pretty cool stuff to be able to deploy some stuff. And I'll show some of the differences as well on the IIS scenario that they work as well. But we've talked about some of the visual tooling. Mm-hmm. The other thing we can do, the one last thing I'll show on that front is just how easy it is to deploy a VM as well. So if we didn't do that.
Oh, no, this is the, this is still.
I'm just showing the web app just so people can see that option. So. New to this version is we have Windows Azure Websites, and under More Options, it's a little hidden, is Windows Azure Virtual Machine. So this will do things like basically detect, is your Web Deploy endpoint available, and actually give you a smart error if it's not.
Great.
Cool.
But it just makes it that much easier to deploy to a VM.
Okay.
So let's jump to our next area. So that was number 8.
Okay.
Number 7, PowerShell. I know how you guys love PowerShell. So let's go ahead and just take this app. And we've done a couple things for PowerShell tooling. So one is all I did was go through file new, and I got three things. Okay. This PowerShell script that we're going to run, this set of PowerShell modules, which I'll just open up real quick. And notice we do get colorization here for a PowerShell, which is new, and code folding as well. So this includes a bunch of code that you can either customize or just reuse. Because our script right here, the PS1, calls into that module and has a bunch of like methods or functions that you would then call within your application. And then the last thing is this configuration. So you can basically copy, paste, and build different configurations. So if you want to have one that is the basic free version of the website, if you want to have one that's the standard, or you want to have one that's in different regions, you basically, all you need to do is change this config and run your PowerShell.
Yep. So this could have, for instance, a staging configuration for your QA team to go off and test against and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so it's as easy as dev test, production, and as many as you want. You change. The point is you don't have to change your code or command line, especially if that's in some sort of automated build process. Mm-hmm. The only changes you make are the configuration, if you will, which is this file.
Okay.
So you're changing one file, and then you can spin up new environments.
Okay, so do you see this the actual scripts being more so used by a DevOps team or an automated build process? As opposed to, you know, running from VS?
It's the full gamut, right? So the developer that's just kind of playing with one thing and testing something out would do it all the way to Chris Patterson did some great demos in Build where he basically used Visual Studio Online with these PowerShell scripts in an automated build process.
Okay.
So it kind of goes in the continuum on what sort of complexity. And the point is, one, these are files that are in your project system.
Yep.
So you can go to town with them. You check them in. You have different versions of the PowerShell files, different versions of the config files, and so on. They're your files to kind of take and customize as you need.
Yep. Great.
Okay. Cool.
So let's run some PowerShell. So new thing here also, open with PowerShell ISE.
Nice.
Let's go ahead and just do that. And so what I'm going to do is just run this script. So we'll just call it and publish web application one. And we have a number of things here. And one thing I did do here was, and maybe I'll just show it, is first thing is just authenticating. So I'll do add Azure account, make sure that it's me. Awesome. All right, so now that I've authenticated, and actually I never ran that command, but let's just type publish web application one. So what are the things that I can do? I need to tell this script two things, the configuration file, that thing that's going to be unique to each environment, and what code do I want to deploy? So the configuration file is .slash, and we'll go under configuration, slash, and what do we call this, Cloud Cover Web App? So there's the one we just built, and then we'll do verbose to make sure that we have verbose feedback, and then the web deploy package. So this is one thing that's a little unique here. You need to provide a web deploy package. If you already have an automated build system, then you can get this already. But if you don't, just for demo purposes, I'm going to click publish. I'm going to, let's actually change this to web deploy package. And now what I'm doing is just saving this as a zip file to, we'll save it here. My new web deploy. Actually, this is select folder, which is, that folder's fine. And now name it, my new web deploy. All right, I'm going to click publish. And what that's doing is basically taking my web app, making it a zip file so that I can do all this stuff in an automated fashion.
Okay.
So .slash, we should see maybe .slash. What was this project called? Cloud Cover. As you can see, I have a ton of projects.
A few.
And then let's see. Where did I save this? Cloud Cover Web App. Wow. Okay. All right, so that is the hardest part of the demo, is finding where you saved files.
Okay.
Remember, the three things you need to do, author the service, give me a config file, and then what code.
Okay.
The config file says, what am I going to spin up? I'm spinning up a website, or maybe I'm spinning up a VM, or maybe I'm spinning up a website plus three SQL databases.
Okay.
It's that, it can, you basically set some settings. Okay, so looks like it's actually complete, and I don't see errors. Great.
Nice.
You know, PowerShell isn't the most exciting thing, but it's code, right? We're developers. We can kind of go to town on this. So just one fun example. Let me see if I have this open. I don't. I'll go ahead and open this. So you, as a C-sharp developer, can basically take this code and call it, right? Because there's nothing magical to it. This code called call PowerShell in this method, I won't spend too much time on it. All it does is sends the exact same commands. Right, and there is a managed library for PowerShell, but everybody's used to just doing process.start.
Mm-hmm.
You give me PowerShell XE, give me the config, give me the website, and deploy. And this method can then be reused for everything and in all kinds of interesting ways. So to just kind of prove the point, we'll run this app. And this is the Azure Clapper.
Okay.
Now, Nick, you're from Australia. Have you ever heard of the Clapper?
I don't know. Maybe.
Clap on, clap off, the clapper?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to let you guys actually deploy. So what you're going to do is when I move this back over at least the 50% mark, just double clap, and it should deploy. Actually, try this. Yay! All right. Yes, it's as stupid as it is not useful. So the point here, though, is PowerShell is just code.
Yep.
We can call this code in whatever way we want. Every time somebody emails us, every time there's a build system, take the code, find out what works for you. You own the code, and it makes it that easy. And of course, we've just deployed our website. I was deployed by clapping, which was, I think that. And we'll just open up one of these. I was deployed by clapping. And just to prove that this site is hopefully live as it warms up. And so can you. Okay, so it's that easy and that much fun. And the whole point is, because it's PowerShell, we can go to town.
Okay.
All right,
cool.
So I talked about a bunch of stuff. Let's go .NET Mobile Services. Okay. So new feature, and Chris, this is kind of your area of expertise.
Definitely.
In terms of mobile services. So
Definitely.
I'm going to give kind of the quickest and dirtiest view on mobile services, just because this probably deserves its own hour. But the idea here is, you are a developer, and one of the top requested features from user voice was, I love mobile services, I want .NET version. It's not that I don't love JavaScript, but you know, certain developers wanted .NET and have a full fidelity experience. So what that means is, for Visual Studio, from our perspective, you get everything that you're used to. Source control, you get remote debugging, you get IntelliSense, everything that you would expect from Visual Studio experience. So here's a really basic example of .NET Mobile Services. And again, all you need to do is say file new website, cloud, .NET Mobile Service.
Could you show the entry point just for people so they
can
see
where
it is?
Yeah, let me jump and just show, just so it doesn't close this one.
Yeah.
File new, I'll just do project. So Windows Azure Mobile Service, you basically click that. Or if you check on web, it's also an option under ASP.NET Web Applications.
Great. Cool.
So let's jump back to basic mobile service. So the idea here is, this is kind of our hello world example. We have a method that just basically is a get method that is going to get data. You give me a string of text, and I'm going to create 100 copies of that string into a little array, and then return it with whatever the number is. So just loop through, give me the text, and then return all as a string. The thing that you don't see here is me manually doing things like converting to JSON or XML or those sort of services, a number of things that you can kind of get for free. So let's just, and then I have a client project to consume it as well, and I'm just using Windows Store, and there are a number of different ways to consume this. Actually, I think I have a breakpoint on this as well, but I'll full screen this, just so you can kind of see what's going on here. There's a button click event when you click the button, and you can use mobile service APIs to do this, but a lot of developers are used to, hey, whenever I'm calling, you know, whatever service, I'm just using HTTP client. So how do I make HTTP client requests to this JSON service? Because I actually don't care what it is. It's just for me, it's just a JSON service on the wire.
Mm-hmm.
So you set the base address, which is where we're getting stuff from. A get async, basic is the name of the controller, and question mark text equals, and that's what it should display, and we read the string, and then we can do things like deserialize it. So the actual type is an array of string, so we'll deserialize it as that, and then just display it in a text box.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and click run here.
So are you debugging against the deployed instance or the local instance?
I'm running against the local. Actually, this is a really good point,
so
and something that's a little
feature.
Unique to.
Yeah.
If you were using mobile services with JavaScript, everything was kind of in production.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now you have the ability to do localhost, and there should be this page, which, let's look at the address. Great setup there. For localhost 19634, and this is my mobile service test page. I love that the designer went to town here. It winked at me. That must mean I'm special. And what this allows you to do is kind of self-documenting, right? Everybody's familiar with the to-do demos. These come included by default in .NET Mobile Services, so you can kind of play with a more richer or deeper example as well. But here's just our real basic get for our basic controller. And I'll give this a second. And what this allows you to do is have a real basic, if that isn't repetitive, test harness. I want to call my application, but I don't want to write HTTP client.
Right.
I have to parse this stuff out. I want to know what it looks like. It should be describing and give me both the JSON and XML here. And I can just call this directly. Now, if I need to do things like add headers, I can just click plus or the body. And I'll just say, hello, world. Click send. And there I see my array of data. So I know it's basically working here. And I'll do the same thing over here. Click a button, and I do have a breakpoint, because this is another just a bonus feature.
Right.
Bonus feature for those of you keeping score at home. here's the, if you can see this, let's just zoom in on just how ugly sometimes JSON can be. Right. We have a new JSON visualizer.
Ooh, great. That's cool.
JSON visualizer. So now, instead of seeing that, I have a tree view. And if this was a really complex type, I can actually sort and filter and jump between children and get this great view. And then, of course, I can do things like filter. So now I filtered 7. So instead of all 100 items, it's any item that has 100 on it. And another classic example is where you need the path of something in JSON. So you can actually right-click and say copy path.
It's pretty cool.
And let me just give you, drop that into like that, and then you'd see like how I can reference that particular item.
Very handy. Okay.
Very, very useful for using these services. And I'll just click continue and switch back. And again, there's no magic here, but you know, all this wonderful stuff there. So there's a lot of stuff with mobile services. Probably, Chris, you want to plug your own talks at, from TechEd on this?
We had several talks at TechEd and at Build just all about the .NET backend for mobile services. So we'll try to provide some links to those at the bottom of the video, because as you said, you know, you could spend a lot of time just going over that. So awesome, really great feature.
I think one of the new features that was actually announced at Build in preview for mobile services was offline support. So people doing data sync type solutions can actually build out quite simply off this .NET backend to have a client that will sync the data back from their service tier, filter it if you want, and store that in a local data store for those types of offline scenarios. So in my opinion, that's one of the other really exciting things that have been sort of implemented.
This is more of the server side, whereas the offline bit there that he's talking about is really on the client side, but both really cool features.
Yeah, and they work great together is kind of the key point there. All right, so we've shown .NET Mobile Services, and related to that is Notification Hub. So I'm going to make this really quick. For those of you who ever see an application that does notifications, this is where you get the nice toast, if you will. And one of the things is, if you're developing with Azure Mobile Services, the great thing is it makes it platform agnostic, meaning I don't have to write something specific for iOS or Android. It basically gives me a service that lets me target all of them, right? So we've added a new thing in Visual Studio, which is a notification hub. And what this allows me to do, and I have a couple services here, is if I right-click, I can send a test notification. Now you can do things like filter by tags, like you can imagine, like, you know, only fans of the Seahawks that happen to be in the city of Seattle would get this, and that kind of filtering, which you can do in tag or broadcast to everyone. And of course you can pick what you're targeting, so whether it's, you know, Apple or Google or whatever the service will be. I'm just gonna use Windows and just pop up a toast message, and we'll zoom in here. So this is nothing more than the toast, and you can of course customize this. So say hello. Hardest part is spelling. Let me scroll down. I'll click send. And with any luck, we should see.
Nice.
There's our application.
Great.
I have registered. So if you're trying to debug applications, you're trying to debug tags, like why isn't this actually coming through, these test notifications make that that much easier.
No, so what happens there is it has actually successfully sent that through to notification hubs. And that's probably hit WMS. It's the response code that would probably say that something was was not quite right.
The point is, I think, one, we need to work on that. Two is it does give you kind of information, and without this information, it just makes it that much harder. So we're really trying to just make it easier, but I think we have a great feature request for next time. All right, so we talked about notification hubs. Let's see if that VM happens to be awake. If not, I can use... oh, sweet. So our cloud cover machine is now available. So now what we can do is, let's just make a quick change. Actually, we'll just click publish. Here.
You can see you're used to working at much higher res.
Let me actually jump in, and maybe on a controller we'll hit a breakpoint, because what I want to show is IaaS remote debugging.
Okay.
So we'll just hit a breakpoint. That should hit. We'll just do a trace real quick. Trace is like the hello world of the future, so trace info, hello. We'll just add a breakpoint. So nothing really magical. I just wanted to, one, because we are using web deploy, I do the same option, publish. It's captured all my information, so I didn't have to enter it here. I'll click publish.
So one of the key things that they need to do with that publish dialog, though, is to ensure that they've selected the debug mode, right? if they want to hit breakpoints.
Yeah, actually, in fact, one is you will see a security issue just to save this. I'm going to tell Visual Studio to go ahead and save this certificate because it is one of the things you do need to do. And let's actually go ahead and wait until this is done to show off how awesome this is. And while we're at it, we will show our virtual machine, which should be populated in our VM list. So I'm going to click Publish. And what you were showing was, actually, I think it's under Settings. Yeah. What we want to do is just change this to Debug here. We'll click Publish. And I had one already built called Cloud Cover IaaS, and this one we're calling Cloud Cover Show.
Okay.
And the first step you're going to do is once this site is live, let me actually just close this. I'm going to right click. Let's just zoom in here. So the first step before you can attach the debugger is to enable debugging. So I'm going to go ahead and select Enable Debugging on the virtual machine, and yes, I do want to enable debugging. And what this is doing is using the agent and extension framework to basically add a remote debugger to my virtual machine.
Very cool. So it removes the old school scenario where people may have installed Visual Studio on a server.
This is a really, really painful scenario, especially with virtual machines. Yeah. Like with websites, people are just used to it remote debugging. Mm-hmm. But hey, I'm using VMs, and this makes it that much easier. All right, so I think I've actually added here. And now we should see this option. I just scroll in, and all I'm doing is just right-clicking on the VM, and I hit Attach Debugger.
Okay.
And we'll give this a second to give me the list of processes. And remember, this is a remote debugger, so even if you are using like a TCP, some socket communication, you're not using IIS or W3WP at all, you can actually attach and get your breakpoint to work here, right? It's a full functional. Oh, all right. Awesome. So here's a list of services. And we should have W3WP, which is the worker process for www or IIS. I'll click Attach. And let's give Visual Studio some time to breathe, load its symbols, relax. And somewhere in the West Coast in the world, this machine is alive. And we are going to run. And you notice we've now hit a breakpoint in a machine that's likely thousands of miles away.
Yep.
So it's super, super cool and something that a lot of our customers have been asking for.
Really easy to configure as well.
Yeah, I can right click.
Yeah.
I can right click.
So one of the key things you mentioned there was you can use it for more than just attaching to the W3WP process. So what other sort of things could people go and remote debug?
Yeah, the classic one is like I'm using like a socket service.
Right,
so I basically have some real-time service that's on the machine basically listening on TCP ports for something to happen. Like for folks that HTTP is too slow a protocol, I need to be able to exchange information like maybe it's a fast game service where you're exchanging game state across different clients and everybody's kind of broadcasting the server and then broadcasting back. So it's not a peer-to-peer situation. But that would be the classic one.
Okay,
great.
Native remote debugging and Emulator Express, which I'll show together quickly. Now I have an app already built here. And let's just go ahead and run this because I do have some breakpoints. And basically this is, let me show the code quickly. Whoa. So this is a worker role that has a run method like we'd expect. And what it does is reads messages from a queue. If there's a message, then I want to process it. So I'm going to check if it's null, there's no messages in the queue, go to sleep for a second.
Okay.
If there is a message, what it does is uses a C++ component to take an image, add the cool hipsterizing effect to it, and send it back, write it back to blob storage. So I don't want to spend too much time on the code, but the point is we basically read a message, do some processing, get that array of bytes, send it over C++, send it back to us, and then read it out on the client.
This will be really useful. Nick's always talking about how he wants to look tanner in his pictures.
Yes, yes.
Taller, too, would be nice.
So what I actually want to do is run this live. So we're going against production here. And we probably should have used a... Okay, so here's our basic website, and it's been live for a while. And I took one of the Cloud Cover Show episodes, and I'm just going to drag and drop it on here. Yeah, exactly. And you should see the, ooh, yeah, nice.
Oh,
awesome.
Fantastic. Cool.
Yeah, you guys actually look like you're like metal or something.
You look handsome, Nick.
Yeah. Frozen in carbonite, I think, was the effect.
I miss my beard.
It misses you too.
Yeah. Well, that's really cool though. Mm-hmm.
So let's actually show, like, hey, maybe we're working through our application. What are the ways that Visual Studio can help here? We can actually go ahead and do some debugging here. So let's go ahead and attach a debugger. So okay. Now I'm attaching a debugger. And this is a cloud service. So our last one was VM. Now we're going to attach to Windows Azure Worker Host, which is what hosts our worker role. Now, one key thing here, because we are using C++ and native, I'm going to make sure to select the code type, manage, and native. And I'll click attach. Am I sure? Yes, yes. Go ahead, break my machine. OK, so I'll give this a second to load the symbols. And remember, it's loading both the .NET symbols and the C++ symbols. So it looks like our messages are ready. We'll try this demo just one more time. Minimize this, go to our page, and drag the same image.
I think that's the wrong page. Yeah.
Actually, I have it on the default. There we go. Drag that on there. And so now I'm actually in a breakpoint inside my worker role somewhere. In the world. I'm going to click continue and just keep going. And now what I've done is I started in native .NET code. I actually jumped matrix, like inception, next level down. So now we're in C++ code and we can do everything we can. And I'll just click continue. And I can even jump back, right? Yep. So I'm going both managed to native to manage. And I get this great debugging experience while I'm doing this.
That's very cool.
Powerful.
And of course, I'll click continue so you guys can see your awesome image again. Which,
fantastic.
Yeah, we need to frame that. Let me just go ahead and stop this, and this will give a second. And while this is going, actually switch Visual Studio environments to our Cloud Cover web app and show some of the different settings that we had set before. If you remember, this was the first app where we added the trace warning, and talk about my favorite feature, or maybe the largest bucket of feature, which is the Server Explorer improvements. So Server Explorer, you log in. You don't need to use your certificate. Again, you have the ability to log in to your regular ID. Mm-hmm. We've now added the ability to create a cloud service directly here. For mobile services, we added a number of different enhancements here. One of the classic ones is we can actually go into and see the different code for our JavaScript mobile services. Yep. So you can see kind of the real-time code and get colorization and all that cool stuff. And you click save, and this is, again, changing production.
Fantastic.
A couple other things here. We talked about notification hubs already. Storage, you can now also create storage accounts directly from Visual Studio. Virtual machines is a big one as well. So we showed some of those virtual machines that we're creating. What I can do now is actually create a full virtual machine here. So I select my account. I click next. And we get a ton of images. This is almost the full experience. If you think of that file new as the quick create, if it's matching the portal, this is the full experience where I can select an image and then select machine settings and really kind of go to town. I won't go through the whole experience here, but you're selecting your cloud service, what endpoints you want, like RDP, maybe changing ports and so on, or building your own. So really detailed experience on virtual machines. And then websites. So let's expand this up. And just look at the Cloud Cover web, I think we had. Yeah, this one. So what we can do is we select the project and select View Settings. Now, I'll give this a second to kind of warm up. OK, yeah, looks like it's ready. And all I'm going to do is just turn all these features on just to show you some of the new stuff that's available. The application logging, because we added some errors and info, I'll just say, give me all up to there. And of course, we can do remote debugging. That's actually existed since the last version as well. And I'll just click save. So just to kind of show this in action, why don't we publish our project? Assuming it wasn't live. Give this a second to publish. And I'm just going to show you some of the new features that become available. So Publish has succeeded. Great. So two things to know. One, we have a list of files, and these files, I should say, are content files. In other words, I'm not changing a code behind or my controllers or anything that's code related. This is if I need to make a change to, for whatever reason, I didn't escape ..slash on a CSS file or a JavaScript file. I can go ahead and make changes and actually see some stuff. So we can go into our home and in our index and actually look at some of the HTML. Now here's the thing, we are looking at, in brackets, remote. This is the remote view of the actual web page on here. And well, I would say do this carefully, but you can make a change here and actually, I'll just zoom out and click save. And if you really want to, or I guess it would be you, because he was blaming you for making
sure,
changes.
Sure, it's not my fault.
You can actually make changes directly to production, directly here, without doing the full web deploy. So it's on a file-by-file basis.
Great.
Okay.
Now, one of the reasons you may not want to do that is because that's now the server's different than, so your next deployment's going to do that, so.
I did see a gesture that, pulls it back, right?
Right.
And where you did the compare, I think there was a...
You'd be able to see the diff.
Right.
You'd absolutely be able to see the diff. It's more a... I wouldn't recommend, is this the one way to publish stuff in case things get out of sync?
Sure.
Because if you're making a change here, it's not in your source control.
Yeah.
You know, all the typical things apply. So that's files. Did this page open? What do we call our site again? Cloud Cover Web App. Cloud Cover Web. Oh, you know what? I think it was maybe over here. Too many websites, man.
Definitely going all out on all the demos today.
Cloud Cover Web App. All right, so there. This was our basic page, and I'm just reloading it to make sure to get some hits. I changed this page. I'm making changes to this page. Now, what if you hit, like, products one? This page doesn't exist. Right. You know, kind of classic 404, nothing magical. But what you can do now is we've added a ton of information for you to see what's going on, kind of like your lens into IIS, if you will.
Okay.
So one, you get an application log. So what is the application log? If I double click this, it's those, you know, as I was refreshing, these are all the trace information.
Yep.
Now, how is it choosing this? Because I chose warning, errors, and info.
Yep.
So that's cool, handy, and obviously you can also stream. That's existed in 2.2, where you can actually stream and see the live output window. You also get detailed errors. This is, again, going to show our 404 error.
Okay.
Information's on Git, which I'll skip, HTTP, which I'll go into, and the W3 SVC, this is basically your log. So if you needed to do like, the HTTP is basically your raw log.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had like a log parser and you wanted to do, you know, reporting on how people are using your website, all that good stuff, that's there. And the W3 SVC is a feature familiar for IIS developers.
Yep.
But look at this, all this information it gives you. And this is an XML file, but we include the XSL to kind of do the nice formatting on it. So now I can see all the information. Well, geez, what happened? When did it happen?
Right.
What was it? It was a 404. It took 16 milliseconds. And really, you know, you could, of course, go into town depending on the complexity of your apps. If you're using, like, modules and what is the performance view of this thing, I mean, you really go to town and get a ton of information. I want to be able to write Windows Azure websites and get as much diagnostic information as possible here.
Right.
So that's kind of the quick wrap-up of our...
Certainly makes it very easy to pull down that important information when you're trying to diagnose issues with your site.
Yeah, and you can see where are we getting errors, where did our 500 happen from?
Yep.
Like, what's the actual module that's calling it? So there's a ton of new features in Azure SDK and Update 2, and I think it's kind of a no-brainer update for customers. So if you haven't yet, make sure to download.
Okay, excellent. Well, this is...
Very cool. It's great stuff.
That was a lot of information. So 2.3 Azure SDK.
2.3 Azure SDK and Visual Studio 2013 Update 2.
Okay.
Both are available for download.
Awesome. Certainly worth downloading. If people need to reach out to you to say, hey, I want this super cool feature or...
At Charles Story. No. at Daniel FE on Twitter or just dan.fernandez at Microsoft.
Okay. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming, Dan.
Appreciate you coming on.
Yeah. Appreciate all the great demos. That was certainly a lot more than I expected. So there has been a huge amount of work done in 2.3 and it's definitely going to make your life easier. So check it out.